news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It's a busy Tuesday in America. Donald Trump is headed to Arizona to hold another rally. Seriously, this one in a church with a 3,000 person capacity. All right, 3,000 is lowering expectations from 19,000, but 3,000 people in a church? And a church? Really? Anyway, Arizona is one of the states where COVID surge is strongest. At the same time, on Capitol Hill, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the CDC's Robert Redfield, and representatives from Health and Human Services and the Food and Drug Administration testify before the House Energy and Commerce Committee about COVID-19. And it is primary day in New York and Kentucky, where some big upsets are possible. In New York, in a district neighboring AOC's, where she beat Joe Crowley, number three in House leadership, in a primary, history could repeat. Jamal Bowman, a 44-year-old African-American Bronx middle school principal, in his first run for office, is challenging 16-term incumbent and chair of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Elliot Engel. And his chances are looking very good, with endorsements from Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and the progressive wing of the party. This is a race to watch. In Kentucky, progressive Charles Booker has been gaining momentum since the protests over racial injustice and police brutality have surged. Amy McGrath, though a powerful fundraiser endorsed by the national party apparatus, has said she would work with Donald Trump and doesn't have meaningful relationships with Kentucky Democratic power brokers, is vulnerable for a primary upset. But Kentucky is a wild card. Red flags are already being raised there, where the number of polling places has been slashed. Here's MSNBC's Lawrence O'Donnell.
Kentucky could be headed for an Election Day disaster because there will be fewer than 200 polling locations in the entire state of Kentucky. Jefferson County, which includes the city of Louisville, is home to half of Kentucky's black voters. During a normal election year, Jefferson County alone has 256 polling locations. Tomorrow, the Louisville Exposition Center with 350 voting booths will be the only polling location for Jefferson County's more than 610,000 voters.
So in both New York and Kentucky, don't expect any immediate results. A front page story in the Washington Post Tuesday notes that officials in both states have already announced that some results won't be available for as long as a week. Protesters in Lafayette Square near the White House attempted to take down a statue of former President Andrew Jackson on Monday night, but they were stopped. U.S. Park Police issued a statement saying that the park is temporarily closed and they are, quote, actively working to keep demonstrators from tearing down the statue. TV station WUSA 9 reports that police used pepper spray to push protesters out of the park, and some of the station's reporters were hit. While law enforcement worked to clear out the park, Secret Service agents at the White House asked members of the press to immediately leave the grounds, offering no explanation as to why they had to go. They later apologized. Great. And Donald Trump tweeted Tuesday morning that he has authorized the federal government to arrest anyone who vandalizes or destroys any monument, statue, or other such federal property in the U.S. with up to 10 years in prison per the Veterans Memorial Preservation Act or such other laws that may be pertinent. Well, Ian Milhauser of Vox noted that the Veterans Memorial Preservation Act applies only to monuments commemorating the service of any person or persons in the armed forces of the United States. That doesn't apply to statues of Confederate traitors unless the monument specifically commemorates prior loyal service. Back to COVID for a moment. The surge continues around the country. Nine states have now reported record coronavirus infection rates on Monday alone, with 29 states and territories posting an increase in new cases, which now nationally has returned to an average of 30,000 per day this past weekend after hovering at around 20,000 daily new cases for a number of weeks. As of early Tuesday morning, the U.S. had recorded more than 2.3 million cases and 142,402 deaths. Two members of Trump's campaign advance team who attended the Tulsa, Oklahoma rally on Saturday have now tested positive for the coronavirus. Six other members of the team tested positive before the event, so they didn't attend. The latest two were tested as a precaution before flying home. NBC News reported that campaign and law enforcement officials expect more positive tests among people connected to the rally. Gee, you think? So the Trump administration just can't seem to get its story straight on anything these days. On Monday, reporters were treated to contradictory statements from Trump and senior administration officials on a bunch of issues, from Donald's comments on coronavirus testing to the firing of U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Berman to the China trade deal. The burning question on Monday was why Trump said at his Tulsa rally that he had asked for coronavirus testing to be slowed down.
When you do testing to that extent, you're going to find more people. You're going to find more cases. So I said to my people, slow the testing down, please.
The official response was, well, it was a joke.
Saying that he told his people to slow down testing is not true.
It was a comment that he made in jest. It's a comment that he made in passing, specifically with regard to the media coverage and pointing out the fact that the media never acknowledges that we have more cases, because when you test more people, you find more cases.
Kayleigh McEnany added that any suggestion that testing has been curtailed is not rooted in fact. But when asked about the remark by Scripps' Joe St. George, Trump tried to sidestep the question again, claiming that the numbers are going up because of all the testing. But he hesitated when asked again directly.
On Saturday night, you said that you told your staff to slow the testing down to improve the numbers. Does that mean someone watching this right now on their local news is not going to get a test because you asked yourself?
We do more testing than any country in the world by far. 25 million tests. Other countries do 1 million. Every time you do a test, as you do more tests, it shows more and more cases. So we're so far advanced, both in terms of the quality and the amount. And we're doing all these tests and it shows cases. If other countries aren't doing, or if we did slow it down, we wouldn't show nearly as many cases. You're showing people that are asymptomatic. You're showing people that have very little problem. You're showing young people that don't have a problem. But we're doing so much testing, 25 million tests. Nobody thought that
was possible.
But
did you ask to slow it down?
If it did slow down, frankly, I think we're way ahead of ourselves, if you want to know the truth. We've done too good a job, because every time we go up with 25 million tests, you're going to find more people. So then they say, we have more cases in the United States. The reason we have more cases, because we do more testing than any other country by far.
Oh, and by the way, you know, the White House has a track record of using the "it was a joke" defense for all of Trump's idiotic utterances.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
He was joking at the time. We all know.
When you see these thugs being thrown into the back of a paddy wagon, you just see him thrown in, rough. I said, please don't be too nice.
I believe he was making a joke at the time.
They were like death. And un-American. Un-American. Somebody said treasonous. I mean, yeah, I guess why not?
The president was clearly joking with his comments.
This just came out. WikiLeaks. I love WikiLeaks.
Look, clearly the president was making a joke during the 2016 campaign.
Hey, Donald. It's not the president's job to crack jokes, just saying. On another front, Trump initially said that he was not involved in the abrupt firing of Jeffrey Berman from his post as U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, saying, that's Bill Barr's department, not my department. But after Berman said, I'm not going anywhere and you can't fire me, I'm paraphrasing, they turned to Trump to do the firing. On Monday night, House Judiciary Chairman Gerald Nadler said a subpoena is being prepared for the Attorney General.
Well, we have begun the process. It takes a process. We have begun the process to issue that subpoena. Yes, it is very much true. We are doing that.
So we got that going for us. But there's more. This time, the mixed messaging came on the China trade deal. In an interview on Fox So-Called News with Martha McCollum, trade advisor Peter Navarro was asked point blank whether the trade deal is over.
Do you think that the president he obviously really wanted to hang on to this trade deal as much as possible, and he wanted them to make good on the promises because there had been progress made on that trade deal. But given everything that's happened and all the things you just listed, is that over?
It's over, yes.
Soon after, however, he claimed that news organizations had taken him, quote, wildly out of context. No, they hadn't. Larry Kudlow told Axios reporter Jonathan Swan that the deal remains, and then Donald himself tweeted, the China trade deal is fully intact. Alrighty then. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and The Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.